Have you ever been tempted to give up or check out in your walk with God? Have you been at a place in life's journey where you felt overwhelmed and overshadowed by life's obstacles, setbacks, or heartaches? It could be you're at such a place right now, a place where you are hungering for hope. If so, then Hope Along the Journey podcast is a ministry of encouragement created specifically with you and others just like you in mind. And now, here is your host, Mark Cravens, to share a word of encouragement with you today.
Thank you so much for listening today to this episode of Hope Along the Journey. Hi, I'm Mark Cravens, your host, and it's a joy to have you. And it's also a joy to have with me today in the recording studio here, none other than Don Davison. Don, welcome to today's episode of Hope Along the Journey.
Thank you, Mark.
We're looking forward to sharing with Don here in just a few moments. We're going to be talking about the subject of rules of the road for listening. And I really hope that you will listen carefully as we go over what I think are some really exciting and important aspects of becoming a good listener. Before we do that, though, I would just like to say a few words about our podcast and invite you to go online to our website at www.hopealongthejourney.org. Again, that's just hopealongthejourney.org. When a little screen pops up that says stay in touch, would you just put your email address in there so we can put you on our newsletter? We would love for you to be part of the newsletter we put out every couple of months. Also, we would love for you to leave us a review. If you listen on a venue that is able to give a 5-star rating, would you do so, my friend? Would you just put a nice little blurb there about the podcast and then also give us a nice rating? We would appreciate that so very much. Also, we'd love to hear from you. If you have time, and I'd just like for you to just shoot me an email or a text message, you can connect with me through Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, or shoot me an email at hopealongthejourney@gmail.com. Again, that's just hopealongthejourney@gmail.com. I just want to say, my friend, I appreciate so much your support of this ministry, your prayers, your financial gifts, you sharing it with your friends to get them to listen as well. All of that just means so very much to me. Now, back to our topic today, rules of the road for listening. I just want to introduce my guest again, Don Davison. Don has been married to his lovely wife, Linda, for almost 43 years. 43 years, right?
That's right.
And she told me the day, it didn't seem like a day over 70.
Oh,
so
boy.
Just
I love it.
No, she didn't say that. Don and Linda have 4 wonderful children and 13 grandchildren.
Yeah.
Wow, Christmas can be expensive, can't it?
The baker's dozen.
That's right. He served as a pastor for 4 years before going into the area of public relations. And from 1986 to 2016, he traveled and represented Bible colleges and did public relations and did just a phenomenal job at that. But in 2016, Don's life took an incredible turn, and he began chaplaincy training and doing chaplaincy work, which he currently does today. So again, Don, I just want to say, welcome to today's episode.
Happy to be here.
So let's begin by just kind of talking about, we talked about this earlier, but the big dramatic shift from pastoring and being in public relations, which is a lot of, as we talked about it, one-way communication. You know, it's interesting that we train pastors to talk. We don't really train them to listen. And then, of course, being in public relations, it was all a lot of just that one-way communication. What has been different? How eye-opening was it for you when you made that transition to chaplaincy?
Well, I'm a metaphor guy, and it was kind of like driving through a car wash with the windows down to go into clinical pastoral education. I had no clue that I wasn't going to make a rather seamless transition using my present one-way communication, in other words, speech-making skills, and that it would just overlay directly right onto hospital pastoral ministry. When I started realizing that that the essential core skills needed in chaplaincy was listening, and that there was an art and science to listening, It was like being shown a room that was painted a bright white with white lights, with empty shelves, with nothing on them. And I knew I was in trouble. Mm-hmm. I had to learn how to listen.
Yeah.
That was unsettling.
Yeah, I know. You know, I did a couple of units of chaplaincy training too. And I remember for me as well, that was one of the big, if not the biggest, eye-opening experience, was the fact that you shifted from being the speaker to learning how to be a listener. I look back, and maybe, Don, you would agree with this, I would have given anything if I would have learned those listening skills earlier on in my ministry. I just think it would have helped me in so many ways.
Absolutely. There's such transferable skills here, especially for anyone that's coming along somebody else's journey.
Right.
Trying to help.
Yeah. You know, I shared with you that last night in my grow group, that one of the members of my grow group talked to me. We were talking about this matter of listening and the art of listening. And one of the things that they were saying to me was, you know, at the workplace where I work, people often come to me and just want to share with me their burdens. And she said, you know, I'm learning how, or I'm trying to learn how to become a better listener, which kind of segues into what we're going to be talking about today, these rules of the road for listening. Because all of us, I feel like, have a special place in God's work, and especially in this role of listening. So talk to us a little bit about your philosophy, how important you think listening is, and how would you define this matter of listening in ministry?
Well, I mentioned earlier that I see listening as an art and a science, and it's a blend of that. And the science of listening, I think a great start to learning how to become a better listener is, for the folks who are listening to this podcast right now, this is the way you grow your skills, is intentionally to reach out, read some good books, get some training, but there's nothing that will replace practice as well. I am where I am today because of people who listened to me. People who weren't especially qualified or credentialed. There was an old gentleman in my church by the name of Grandpa Baldwin. He was everybody's grandpa. And he led the singing in our church, and he was bigger than life to me. He was one of those guys that when he led the singing, he would lose his false teeth. He would, long before the old version of cell phones that were called Palm Pilots, he would write the hymn numbers on the palm of his hand because he was our song leader. But I would always go up to about that second seat in the church before church and listen and talk to Grandpa because I was the center of the stage when I was talking with Grandpa.
Yeah.
And he was, we hear the word influencer a lot. He was an influencer in my life. And countless times he would say, Nellie, referring to his deceased wife, he'd say, Nellie always said, you were going to be our preacher boy.
That's something, yeah.
And the earliest seeds that were planted in my life that actually find me in the ministry today were planted in the middle aisle of my church by a man who, frankly, no disrespect, but kind of had that seasoned smell about him. Yeah. He was, I think, an old bachelor.
Yeah.
Probably was wearing the same shirt for 3 days, but he could make a mean chili mac. He taught me how to stir up salad, and he told me he planted those seeds that I was actually worth something to God. And so listening can bring so much hope.
Yes, it can.
To others.
Yeah. I shared with you too earlier that I have a friend who does counseling, and he said to me one time, I'll never forget, he said, Mark, he said, I think about 80% of my clients wouldn't have to come to me on a regular basis if they just had one person who would honestly listen to them and hear them out. But there are really a lot of people who feel like they don't have that one person who truly will listen to them. Isn't that staggering to think that listening is what people are really looking for, just somebody to really hear them out and to hear what they're saying?
I not only think that that is absolutely spot on, but I also think it is so sad.
Oh,
that
yes,
there,
it
that,
is.
That there are so many people who are qualified to be good listeners, like Grandpa Baldwin.
Yeah.
Like my old pastor's wife. I would stop by on my paper route. She might be in the middle of doing her hair, but she would very vulnerably stand there. Normally the picture, gracious perfection, but she would stand at the door with her hair down, listening to Gabby Little Don Davison. She was there's so many people that
are
qualified. I think it's because some of them wonder, do I really have what it takes? What if I get into the middle of something and run out of tools?
Right. Or I don't have the answer. They ask me a question, I don't have the answer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, that's, and I think it's one of the reasons, you know, why I wanted to have this podcast on this subject of listening, Don, because I think many of us are going to find ourselves, and many of you who are listening are finding yourselves to be that person that people are going to for whatever reason and are bringing their burdens, their needs. And I think a conversation like this can help all of us maybe to become that better listener. So let's look at some of those rules, two or three of them here today. So you gave me a list of these rules, and the first one is a commitment to confidentiality.
Yeah.
Don, talk to me about this matter of the importance of confidentiality and listening.
Absolutely. Well, with the hospital where I work, as a chaplain, there are actually laws that govern what I can say and what I can share out of a visit. Mm-hmm. I remember helping a politician one time. I would have loved to go out and tell all of my friends about supporting this politician that I really loved, but I couldn't. There's a burden that we bear when we're a listener. And there's a sense of aloneness, not necessarily loneliness, but aloneness with carrying somebody else's burden with them. And so there's a responsibility there. I would give this caution as well. If you're on the other side and wanting somebody to listen, develop some discernment about the kinds of folks who seem to really relish having the latest story to share about somebody else.
Yeah, you better watch out.
With all due respect, I've noticed that sometimes folks who perhaps perceive that they have some deficiencies, maybe social deficiencies, they love to get a hold of some knowledge because it gives them some political capital. So develop a little bit of discernment there. But it's a breach of trust.
Yes.
To build yourself up or go out of a confidential time of listening just to spin a great story. There's an actual sacred confidentiality that you enter into with folks when you come alongside their journey to listen.
That's important because it does require a great deal of personal discipline because, like you said, like the politician, man, something inside is just saying, man, I just love to tell everybody who I got to, but you can't do it.
That's right.
There's a confidentiality matter. And I think it takes a great deal of trust. It takes a great deal of discipline. And you made a statement, as you sent something to me. It says, trust is built through consistency, predictability, and reliability.
That's right.
Yeah. And sometimes it takes a long time to build that trust, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I think that is part and parcel of listening, is to strip the urgency out of it and replace that with availability.
That's good.
We're not there to fix things. In fact, one of the things that I have to kind of guard myself against is the more I feel time limited in a visit at the hospital, I tend to feel like, well, kind of got to dispense with this listening here at this point, and we got to get into this situation and fix it.
Yeah, I understand that.
You know?
We do that a lot with our kids too, don't
we? Yeah, and it's...
Yeah.
When in all reality, what matters more is to move at the speed of relationship.
That's good.
And to meet people where their brain is. Mm-hmm. And if their brain is hijacked in trauma, you can, our brain doesn't work in logic and trauma at the same time. So you can skip over the trauma and say, well, I'm running out of time here, so I better go to my bullet point list of platitudes and leave that with you here. But you're going to miss the opportunity far better to calmly, non-anxiously stay in the moment. Mm-hmm. Even sometimes if it's rather silent support. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have the answers, but you have to have the presence.
Yeah, I think sometimes we, you know, in broadcasting, they have what's called dead air. And radio people and even podcasters say, be careful, you know, that dead air. You don't want to have too much dead air space. But when it comes to listening, dead air space is really not dead air space, is it, Don?
And I think there is, we are co-laborers, those of us that are looking at this like a spiritual opportunity, mm-hmm. to come alongside and bear one another's burdens. We're actually co-laborers with God.
Yes.
And so, you know, we sing about Holy Spirit flow through me, but that silence is not just silence.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
That silence gives God an opportunity to work. Mm-hmm. And there's ways. I mean, yeah. You don't have to sit there and stare somebody down in the silence, you know. You don't have to look at your watch.
Yeah, wrap your fingers on the table. Yeah.
There is, not to be cynical at all,
yeah.
But we do communicate with body language. Mm-hmm. And there is a graciousness that we can communicate, mm-hmm. that I'm okay.
Yeah.
I'm okay with this. And I've had folks that after I've allowed even 30 seconds, 45 seconds of what feels like dead air.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Then they've gathered their thoughts, mm-hmm. and say, you know,
yeah.
what I really think is, you know, or I know what the problem is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember one time at the hospital, I asked one man what to me would have been a no brainer. I could have answered the question that I was asking him. But I was going to give him the opportunity to answer it. Glad I did. He said, looking forward to going home. I said, well, what does going home mean to you? Mm-hmm. Well, I was expecting an answer like, I'm around my own fridge, man. I got my own remote control or whatever. And he said, I'm going to have to change some things. And it opened the opportunity.
It's powerful, yeah.
That was an open-ended question that I asked him. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, it was exploring. What does that mean to you? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and again, that open-ended question asking is so important because that gives the opportunity, again, not from you about you sharing, but allowing them to share. You know, and I think we just ought to give one little word of warning here, because while trust is a shared commodity that takes time. But if you ever break trust, Don, you may or may not ever regain that trust again with that person. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. It truly is a tangible thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's look then to the second rule that you have here for listening, and that is commit to your role and your goal. I like that. But help me. So what does that mean? I'm trying to frame this here like I'm supposed to frame it here. So the open-ended question. So help me to understand, help all of us understand, what do you mean here by committing to your role and your goal?
When I got into chaplaincy, I went through a little bit of a disorienting time, mm-hmm. where I was almost a little disillusioned with that 30-year career of creating carefully crafted speeches. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That had become my skill set.
Right, right.
I thought I was bringing that into here, mm-hmm. into chaplaincy. And then I started realizing this is going to really center in on a whole different skill set, the skill set of listening, as we've
right.
been talking about.
Right.
I went through a little bit of a period there where it felt like the past was kind of a waste. Like, what was that all about?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I was introduced to this idea of role, goal, and context. And it's a way to make meaning of each season and new plateau in our life. God doesn't keep us stuck in one area of service, perhaps. I mean, he might, but in my case, he was moving me on. And so it helped me to be able to look back on my career at the Bible College and say, that was a different role. That was a speech-making, fundraising role. I needed to be able to do carefully crafted persuasive speeches. It was a different goal.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay. I didn't have the opportunity to talk to 500 people all individually. I had to talk to them in a congregation. And it was a different context.
Yes.
It was in a church setting, largely. It was not in a hospital setting.
Right.
Okay. So now I was in a different role. I'm in a pastoral role that's patient-centered. I'm there to be a spiritual caregiver. That's my role. My goal is to provide availability to folks for spiritual care and emotional care, and within the context of the hospital setting.
Yes.
So now, everything doesn't exactly, you and I talked about this earlier, there is a difference between a professional caregiver like me, even if you feel it from the heart, it's your profession.
Right.
And so you get the chance to really carefully hone your skills, get the specialized training. But we're talking to a lot of folks that are the Grandpa Baldwins of the world, that just, or the Sister Grays of the world, my pastor's wife, or whoever, that just are, are salt of the earth people that would like to have a couple of things to hang their hat on being a better listener. And I think one of the things is, what is your role? Well, your role, number one, is not to fix things. Okay. Some of us are terrified of talking with somebody else because we're not, we don't have the answers. You know what? One of the things that chaplaincy training taught me was that is actually celebrated when you're authentic enough to say, you know what? I don't know what to tell you. I can see that you're really under it. Man, you're going through a storm. I don't have the answers. I'm tell me more about how it feels. Okay. Another part of that role is to move past discussing just facts. And don't let this snow you. This stuff is kind of like, to me, like a game in loving people. Okay. I want to just keep getting better and better at it. So it's not getting discouraged at what I don't know. It's like, oh, cool. I can start trying that. Okay. But, okay, let's say, for instance, if I go in a room and I somebody tells me I just got diagnosed with high blood pressure, I can spend all my time talking about the high blood pressure, or I can talk to them about, how did that make you feel?
Yes.
How did that make you feel when you got that diagnosis? Well, it makes me scared. And frankly, it's a loss.
Right.
I prided myself all these years from not having to take medicine, and now I got to take that medicine. And we get to the feelings that are underneath the event.
Absolutely, yes. Okay. And I remember Kathy Sprinkle, who was one of my teachers whenever I was taking counseling classes in my master's degree, used to say so many times, go for the feelings, not the facts. If you go for the facts, you get the facts. If you go for the feelings, you'll get the feelings and the facts.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's just a lot of truth into that, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, the facts are an indispensable part of the feelings. But to get to those feelings underneath will give people an opportunity to connect with their own selves and come up with a solution.
Yeah, yeah. And we want to move on, but, you know, just hearing you say this also, I think this just translates into such things as roles with parents and older children. Because our role shifts as our kids get older and as they, especially after they marry and move on, and we have to adjust to that role. And a lot of times our children contact us, and all they really want us to do, they don't want us to fix anything. They just want us to listen.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, there's a third rule for the road in listening you have here, and that is commit to the safeguard of self-awareness. Talk to me about that and to our listeners about this.
Well, I'll be transparent to say that one of the growth points for me continues to be in my professional chaplaincy is to keep my lane well-defined and to stay in it. And part of that lane is to not let my heart run away with my head and to not let my heart run away with the safety of my ministry. There are some situations that I'm too vulnerable to provide the care here. And so it's true that vulnerability creates connection. And frankly, I've been amazed all the time. Any time that I've ever hung out a shingle in my preaching or speaking and have told people how badly I failed, it's amazing to me how people will line up underneath that shingle for help. I'm like, did you not hear? I just told you how badly I failed here, but that vulnerability creates connection. But not everybody has the right to hear every part of your story.
Right.
Okay, so that vulnerability has boundaries. But if in caregiving, every opportunity to provide care and support to others is not your opportunity.
Yeah, that's right.
If your reputation, your family, your marriage, your calling and profession are at risk by personally supporting another person, stop.
Yes, that's good.
I can't emphasize that enough. Stop. Don't become the hero.
Right.
And lose your ministry, lose your profession, lose your marriage, lose your family because you thought you were stronger than this. A study was conducted of 600 ministers, I think it was, who had morally failed. And one of the reasons why they failed was because they thought it couldn't happen to them.
That's so true. That's absolutely right. And the truth is that we can develop emotional attachments, sometimes starting out just as being the compassionate, empathetic listener, and suddenly you're like the first person in their life that has ever really listened to them. They feel like, you know, nobody else listens to me. My own husband doesn't listen to me, but here comes this person, man or woman, who comes alongside here, and you're listening. And if you're not careful, it can create an unhealthy attachment, can't it?
It really can. And I think just one practical thing that I'd throw out here for free. When you're helping somebody else, especially of the opposite gender, be careful about complimenting them about physical features, about their hair, about their perfume, about these kind of things, okay? And then also, whenever possible, and it pretty well always needs to be possible, you need to be in a situation where there's accountability, where there's presence of other people, and inclusive of the person's husband, if at all possible, or the person's spouse, if at all possible.
That's great. Well, Don, we kind of run out of time here. Man, we just feel like we just got started. We're going to have to pick this up again and talk about some more rules of the road, because sometime I'd like to just have a conversation on like developing listening skills, you know, on what that would look like. What are just some skill sets? And so, because this to me is just such an important topic. So, Don, thanks for being part of today's Hope Along the Journey. Appreciate it so very much. And appreciate you, my friend. And thank you, all of you who are listening today. God bless you. And as I always say and mean from the very depths of my heart, if you look to Jesus Christ, he'll give you hope. Because Jesus Christ is truly the hope of the world. Look to him, and he will give you hope along the journey. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. If you would like to know more about Hope Along the Journey, or if you would like to make a donation to show your support and appreciation for this ministry, then visit our website at hopealongthejourney.org. You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Thanks again for listening. And we hope you'll join us again for more hope along the journey.